Corey.
Well, 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 McGraves.
What? How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. It is finally here, man.
It is here. It is. I'm trying to think. You talking about the tariffs?
Yes. Yes. Of course. And for those of you who are not aware, this is the Tariff Show with Corey Martin and Dan McGrail.
There's got to be one somewhere, right?
Yeah, you know.
The tariff enthusiast. The tariff sheriffs. I don't know. Yeah. Something.
Is it better than the Waggles or worse than the Waggles? That's for the public to decide.
That is for the public to decide. Frankly, I don't know if I want the public to answer.
Yeah, no,
I don't
me
give
either.
A damn. I don't give a damn what they have to say. Sorry, public.
Oh, no, the Waggles were back. It's Masters Week. The greatest of the weeks.
It is a good week. It is a, honestly, like, the course itself, the event, everything about it. I think it's also kind of like the symbolic start. I always like it because I feel like it is a little bit the symbolic start to the golf season. In and of itself, I always think back, like, every time I've watched the Masters, I feel like it's golf season, like, we're here,
let's go golfing.
Yeah, let's go golfing. DJ Khaled. No, dude, I can't wait. I'm excited. What's your favorite part about the Masters? It's a lot. It's a loaded question.
I'm a big nature fan, so I love just how beautiful it is. There's less commercials, so you see a lot more. I mean, let's just broaden it in general and say the coverage is the best part.
The birds chirping in the background, like, it's a small couch, but, like, I mean, it is like, and I think they do pipe it in, but it's just like, oh, I'm here for it. Like, it is like, it's local. I'm here for it.
No, I'm with you. And just the fact that it is the most elite watching experience of golf that you'll get all year, period. There's not a debate on that.
No, that is, it's not particularly close. Like the app, like the Masters app is, I guess, yeah, PSA to anyone who does not have the Masters app downloaded, do yourself a favor and download the Masters app.
Yep. Shot by shot, not just on the course, not just on the course, dude, on the range this year.
Oh, is it really? I didn't know that. That is feels a little excessive. That feels a little excessive.
I'd be lying if I didn't already look at it. I got a very long. I'm low energy today, so you're gonna have to carry the team.
Low energy. Okay.
Yeah, got another big run in, and the whole time, which was an hour and 15 minutes, I think. No, that's not right. No, it was 115 minutes. So, yeah, I can't do math. Whatever. Anyway.
That would be, what, an hour? I mean, basically two hours.
Just under 2 hours.
5 minutes, just under 2 hours. Just under 2 hours.
Yeah, just under 2 hours.
That's not bad for 3 miles?
For 3 miles, yeah.
No, I know you're a humble guy. Like, I don't want to... I know you're not looking to be a braggart here, but, I mean, for 3 miles, that's pretty solid.
It was a defeat, if I'm being honest. I was aiming for five and couldn't quite get there. But no,
I'm obviously kidding, giving Corey a hard time here. But why don't you tell the people why are you going on a run today? Were you running inside? Were you running outside? And why?
Well, you know me; all my stories are long. You just said that, you know, this tournament sparks the golf season, and in Ohio apparently that's not true, because it is 30 degrees today. It was terrible, and I am soft, and I'm not running in that outside. So I did run inside on the treadmill. Training for the Pig, which is happening next month, and I gotta ramp things up. My goal today was way too ambitious for very little food in me today, and I had a run 2 days before that and a run 2 days before that. And so I only got to 12 miles. So it was a good.
Only 12 miles. Only 12 miles, buddy. That's
truly my goal was 15. My goal, I was like, I'm going to get to 15. I don't care if I'm walking some, and I get to like 9 and I'm like, oh my God, like, this is, this is pure torture right now.
Sure.
So I got to 12 and quit.
That's 12 more miles than I ran today. Honestly, probably 13 miles more than I ran. Like, let's just say it. Let's just if you can run negative miles, that's what I did. So I say kudos. And let's put it this way. If it was game day, you could have squeezed out a few extra miles.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. But I will say the whole point of it was I was watching Masters interviews the entire time. So not every player, I think they only had like 10 players do interviews, but they were like 25 minutes each. Starting with Rory? No, I don't remember who was first. But they were great. They were great. I really enjoyed hearing them out. Heard a lot of juicy information from Colin Morikawa. Loved his interview. Victor Hovland had a good one. So yeah, it was pretty cool. But yeah, like I said, the whole point was it's Tuesday and I'm locked in to the Masters.
Mm-hmm. I feel it. It is just a couple days away. That is, well, kudos on your run. I know.
Thank you.
Always the competitor, striving for more. Respect it. Appreciate it. Yeah, man, 12 miles on a treadmill, that's tough. I'd get disoriented after that. Like, it is. Like, I don't know. I've always found the treadmill disorienting. But
it's not fun. It's not like I'm having fun training this. That's for sure.
I'm not a big runner myself, but it definitely getting out and moving like helps.
Yeah,
helps.
Yeah.
Well, good luck. But as we get closer to your marathon, we'll have to give the people further updates. But what'd you hear on the so you heard some good stuff. I'm gonna be honest, I did not catch 115 minutes of Masters interviews today.
And I didn't get all of them. Yeah. Oh yeah, I got some details. Yeah, that's the crazy part. It wasn't even all of them. I think the last one I heard was take a finish with Jon Rahm. Was the last one. That was great. But all right, we're into golf. We know a lot of stuff about golf, but I'm amazed at how much deeper the levels go because I've never watched interviews before or after tournaments. Once the tournament's, you know, over or beginning, I'm not watching that.
Let's just say it, sports press conferences can be a little redundant, like in and of themselves. Like it's,
and there were
of all sports,
there were a lot of redundant questions. I will say a lot of, like, one of them in particular that was just kind of annoying, like that it was just asked over and over, was like one of the interviewers asking if each golfer, if they thought golfers were soft compared to other sports in relation to speaking with the media after defeats and stuff like, yeah, it was just a weird question at the Masters. I feel like, you know, like,
yeah, it feels like they're not actually looking for an answer. They're looking to grandstand and try to influence behavior. Like it's all it is. And it's kind of like, I get it, but then there's also a certain degree of like, hey, once you earn the respect of the golfers and, you know, try to ask them good questions and be empathetic when they do lose and not just like, be like, hey, like, so why'd you miss that 2-foot putt? Like, and it's
it's silly.
It is silliness. It's just a bunch of silly, like, posturing and weirdness.
Yeah. I think it all sparked because of Colin Morikawa not doing an interview after API, after he lost to Russell.
Yep.
And then at the Players saying that he didn't owe the media anything.
And he's 100% right.
Yeah, and he doubled down on it, which I agree with him, and was just like, he said something to the effect of, you know, until the PGA enforces us to do this, like other sports do, they're forced to come out after games no matter what. Then yeah, I don't owe you anything. Like he literally was like, I hugged my wife after the tournament and went to the locker room. Like, I didn't want to be around anybody. Like, I just, that was it. I needed some time. I needed space. Yeah. And I think you all should be okay with that.
Yeah. We can ask the question a couple of days later. Like, it's,
yeah,
give a little time to breathe. Like, it is a little, like, I don't know if you'd say more like sadistic, where it's like, oh, we want to see you in anguish in front of us explaining yourself to why you lost, and like you owe us an answer. It's like, no, no, no. That's the report can say we want to hear from you.
Right.
Like, hey, we'd like to hear from you. Like, it is, we know you fought hard. It's a incredibly challenging, punishing game that is, you know, I'd say, like, ironically, kind of, I think to me, it's like a perfect epitomization of fair, where it just is what it is.
Yes. Yes.
But in some of those instances, like on an individualistic level, I think it's fair in the aggregate, but like there are times where it's like, oh man, like had some bad beats, tough day, like the things didn't go your way. It's just like, is what it is. Like
100%. Yeah.
And it's tough. Like, I just don't like the question. Like, I understand what they're saying. And like, to a certain degree, like, oh, you want to be like, hey, Colin, like,
come on,
be a man. Like, be
you're
a
getting
man.
Paid
like,
millions.
Yeah. Like it's not like a, you know, I'd say if you were to say like a JJ Spawn, like when he lost the Players, where it's a guy who is like, hey, he is, you know, not real familiar with him, but get the impression that he's grinded his entire career just to even be where he's at. Being in contention at a big tournament, certainly the first one I can recall for him, probably more devastating, and definitely probably means more to his livelihood and, you know, providing for himself and his family. Colin Morikawa, like, he's set. Like,
yeah,
he's set, like, financially speaking, and he's a competitor, wants to win the tournament, so, you know, that's
there's an
you,
argument.
Like, to believe that's not why they're playing, but it's kind of like, you
there's
know,
definitely
you're established.
Yeah, there is certainly an argument to it, but what it reminds me of, I used to watch UFC a lot, and Joe got on got a little upset at the UFC when he was kind of forced to interview somebody who was literally just knocked out, like out cold, and then it's like stick a mic in your face and talk
to
me, like
that's tacky.
Yeah, and it's kind of the same thing where like Colin just got another bad beat, hasn't got a win yet this year, and frankly for a long time it's been a while for Colin. And you know, so I can understand why it's like, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
read the room. It's such a it gets to the point where it's kind of like, I don't really like, I don't say like I don't care, like I see both sides, like they're valid. I don't like the reporters asking that question, like
at the Masters.
Particularly the Masters. Like it's like, hey, come on, guys. Like, come on. There's better things to talk about. There's better things to talk about. Like, truly, kind of to that point. Yeah, if that's something you really want, write a letter to Jay Monahan, because he's clearly doing nothing else under his leadership. So, exactly. Anywho. Well, should we pivot to actual? What do you got?
Well, I was just going to say, along some of the things I learned from the interviews.
Yes, please.
Colin Morikawa, I didn't even realize that he switched swing coaches at the beginning of the year, I think it was. Longtime swing coach that he left. And after, I believe it was after the API, he ended up going back. And so they asked a question, and this was a good question. It's like, you know, how do you have that conversation? Was that a difficult call back to the swing coach to be like, hey, look, I messed up. Like, how did that look?
In some humble pie.
No, literally. And Colin answered it very well. I don't remember exactly what he said, but I thought that was super fascinating. And, you know, he feels more confident in his game, than ever right now. He feels ready. And I think the statistics show that he's ready for it. We're gonna be talking about him later on, I'm sure. So that was first thing. Yeah, he really is, man. Victor Hovland, he feels good about his game. There wasn't a whole lot of meat that I can give around the interview other than just I think he's got a new driver in the bag, and that's about it. I feel pretty good about Victor, actually. I got to be honest, I felt super confident Monday when I filled out my lineup and made some bets and stuff like that. I feel so not confident now.
Masters is a tough one, man. I'll tell you, like, it is. There rarely do I feel like there's someone who's just like, oh yeah, that's what I'm taking. I feel good. He's going to win it. Like,
yeah.
Most of the time, it's kind of like, I feel like you can narrow it down to, but even then, like, I mean, there's still, there have definitely been Masters won by dark horses. I mean, like, I think of Angel Cabrera. I think he's won two, if I'm not mistaken, at least one. I know he's won 100% certain that he's won at least one. I think maybe two. And homeboy's just getting out of jail. Like,
yes.
I think he's back this year, so maybe we pick him. Yes. Spoiler alert, he's in my lineup. You should all have him too. He's learned some new things in jail.
I'm working out a lot.
Yeah, oh yeah. He's perfected the tie spinner, or maybe some other ones. I don't know what sort of golf shots he'd be working on in jail. But I do. It definitely feels like there are always, you know, some top guys there. But it's a tough one to predict, and all golf tournaments inherently are tough to predict. But it's
hard because go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just gonna say it's hard. I mean, because a lot of the guys, it's like later in the year, there's a greater body of work, at least what they've been doing. Some of the guys where it's, you know, I've only played, you know, 2-3 tournaments or so this year.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think back to 2023 when John Rahm won. And first of all, like, he was not the favorite to win, but he was up there as one of the guys who could.
Sure. Yep.
But let's look at who is behind him. Tied for second, Phil Mickelson.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have guessed that, you know?
Not at all.
Who was, like, tied for fourth or something like that, I think it dropped down to. Patrick Reed. Like, whoa, he's back. Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. Tiger in 2019.
Tiger in 2019. Right. Like,
yeah.
There's some wild things that can happen at Augusta. And it is really hard to just get chalky and say Scottie Scheffler is going to do it again. Or, you know, obviously Morikawa is one of the betting favorites right now. Yeah. Yeah. But there's a lot of other players out there that I could so easily see do it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. 100%.
Yeah. So what do you feel? You want to dive into some of this field here or talk about bets?
I think it would be rude not to. I think we'd jump into the field and kind of take it from there. You know, you said you got your lineup set. I'm still mulling things over. I'd say I have like 40% of a lineup. You care to divulge who you're eyeballing at least at this point?
I'd love to. I would love to, because it's going to lead into some amazing players. So actually, as we dive into this, I did want to mention something. I did some research before putting my lineup out here, and I don't remember that I put a couple of these guys out. So this is amazing to me. I forgot that I have Koepka in there right now. So that's interesting. but anyway, the research that I did, it's kind of obvious, but I was looking at Data Golf a lot at, like, literally, I would just go back to every Masters, who won and what was their strokes gained? What were the standouts for one and two and stuff like that, right? There were two that really popped off to me. And obviously, everybody's going to say driving distance is one of them. I think that's just kind of a given. Everybody knows that it favors a long hitter. It's huge fairways, so it's not necessarily an accurate hitter, but it helps.
Time trial doesn't kill you. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So the two that I noticed, strokes gain putting, for sure, you need to be creative on these greens. It favors people who can see things that other people can't and take lines that most are not going to. So that was number one. Number two is strokes gained approach. And this is the most interesting one because I really dove pretty deep on this. 72% of approach shots at Augusta National are going to be from 150 plus yards out.
Interesting.
So that leads me to then look at, on Data Golf, who are the players who are gaining strokes 150 to 200 yards out? And it is really interesting to look at. And it led me to a couple dark horses that are definitely not betting favorites. Ooh. Stefan is already on one of them, with Sepp Straka coming in number one with plus 0.093 strokes gained from 150 to 200 yards. That's huge. And he's had a hell of a year already.
Quietly. I mean, isn't he like second in the PGA? Like the
FedEx Cup standings?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. No, so I think no matter what, you have to look at him as a guy who is probably going to end up at least top 20 in this tournament, just based on that.
Well, I mean, it's hard to refute. I mean, he's been solid all year. Let's see.
Look. Yeah. Number two is somebody in my lineup, and this is why I wanted to go into it. Robert McIntyre.
Oh, Bob the Lefty. Love that.
Yeah.
Oh, Bob McIntyre.
And he's literally 0.092. So pretty much the same as Sepp Straka. Obviously not coming out with quite as good of a year yet, but it's a sure. very solid year. And the thing that really impressed me about Robert McIntyre, looking at Data Golf, you know, from 2023, 2024, 2025, you see the stroke gains category in putting and approach have improved very significantly over those years. And so he could be primed for the biggest win of his career.
That, I mean, it'd be what they, to my knowledge, the third lefty to have won it.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Old Mike Weir, Philly.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody else, any other lefties.
I don't think so either. But yeah.
It is funny. I do think you'll have to keep me honest here.
Yeah.
I have the lefty bias. We are the superior golfers. Like it just kind of is what it is. Like it's, you know, trying to, you know, now I'll jump into some of my biased comments. I do think that I have heard that there's, and again, it could just be kind of from press conferences, which sometimes give you squirrely answers and kind of self-fulfilling. I feel like I have heard before where it's, you know, it does favor the lefties a little bit on some of the holes. So I like Bob McIntyre.
Because most players are right-handed and they're forced to do the uncomfortable thing, especially in this age of golf. Everybody is hitting fades, everyone. And so there are a few shots that demand a draw, if not a hook almost. And so if you can turn that as a lefty into just a power fade, that is quite an advantage, placing that where you would want, especially for a guy who has some length off the tee, like Robert McIntyre.
For sure.
I'm pretty sure he's hitting it 180 ball speed, with the driver. So, he's an interesting prospect for sure. The other guys I mentioned, I got Koepka, I got Morikawa, Shoffley. I think it's finally time. He's back from the injury. I think I'm ready to trust him. We'll see. That may change. Scheffler, chalk, right? And then,
I mean,
probably my favorite of the tournament, Joaquin Niemann. Okay. I love Joaquin.
I'm gonna be honest, like, this is at least the second year now I've been calling Joaquin Niemann. Might be three, but two probably. That I can recall. You're gonna do very well when he does win a Masters. I can assure you that. but it is like, honestly though, that is like I like that pick because like it is kind of a, you know, like all the majors, it's definitely a tournament where the guys are getting up to play, obviously putting their best foot forward. Like they're there to win, and they're there to win every week. So like it's kind of a silly statement, but it does feel like that is one. I feel like kind of like for Rom, for Scotty a little bit, where it's kind of like, for those younger guys, the highly talented, it's kind of where they take a jump, like where it's kind of like, hey, like,
yes,
it's like worked on the game, really, you know, they have abundant amount of talent, and it's kind of like, you know, they show up and it's just ball out. I mean, kind of like Ludwig last year. But I mean, it is like, that's I like that pick. Like that's a, what has he been doing on the live world recently?
Oh, pull him up. Number one in the rankings. He's won twice already. And Liv doesn't have as many events as the PGA does, obviously. So I think that's out of seven events, something like that. And what do you think two of the categories are that he excels in? Putting and approach.
Yeah.
And he's a very long hitter as well.
Yeah, that is. Coming off his most recent one in Miami, tied 33. But yeah, the rest of the year, I mean, he's won two of his last five. He is one of the, I know our last pod, we were talking about the guys on Liv that would be interested to see come back. He is one of the dudes on Liv that I think you can kind of validate and clear from the list of people where it's kind of like, hey, kind of took the money and kind of riding their golden parachute to
retirement,
kind of a pseudo retirement.
Yeah,
I kind of think Dustin. I hate to say it because I do like Dustin, but I kind of think he's in that category. But honestly, Cam Smith might be in that category. Either that or he's just had a tough stretch. Joaquin Niemann is not that guy. Like he is.
No,
he's a player.
He's younger than those guys too. So I think that really is a big part of it. He was one of the first star young guys that came over. Whereas the others are, you know. Not that they're old, but they're at least 30 and beyond.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that is. It is interesting. So, last year he was what, tied 22nd? And I don't think he played that well. I think he had a tough start.
Yes.
And then he worked his way back to like 22nd. Like that, like those are the guys you're kind of looking at where it's just like, you don't have your A game and you're still getting a top 25. Like, I think I'm going to like where you're at.
Well, it's funny. Rick Shields was asking him. He does a little challenge with the golfers on Liv now. And so he played with Joaquin, I think in Dubai, like their first or second tournament or something like that. And he was asking him about the Masters. And I didn't really remember his results, but Joaquin was specifically saying like, yeah, I know I haven't really had any I don't really have a good record there. And so, you know, after he said that, I was not really thinking about him that much going into it. But then I looked him up on Data Golf and it was like, this isn't that bad. Like, it's not good, but like, I think there was a T16 in there, the T22 last year. Like,
that's
limited
guy
amount
who's,
of times.
Yeah. But I mean, that is like, and I certainly, to a certain degree, I think you feel like all, I would say probably 60% of the players playing kind of feel that way. However, like there's just kind of like an air of confidence that I think you want to see from the guys that you're going to pick, where it's kind of like, yeah, I want it. Like kind of like that, just like, just a little kind of like that fire, a little bit of intensity, kind of focus, a little added focus where they want the pressure. And it's just like, yeah, so you know, and that's a fine line. Like you don't want someone who's, you know, completely beating themselves up where it's like, okay, that's just a little unstable, but just kind of that. A little bit of
boost.
A little fire, yeah. Where it's like, oh yeah, I'm looking for the dub. Like
Colin actually said something about that in his interview, and I loved it. That he is finding himself almost too not complacent, but like too relaxed. You know, because they were like, you know, do you feel the pressures here? Like, or you know, like, are you trying to be aggressive and stuff like that? And he was like, honestly. Like aggressive is not the word for it. I don't like using that word. You know, it's not like I ever look at a shot and say like, oh, I'm going to hit this as hard as I can to get it up there. Like that's not what any of us are doing, but, but he was saying something like, I do feel like I have to amp myself. I need to start amping myself up a little bit more, start feeling a little bit more adrenaline than I do. Like, I feel like I'm so process oriented that it doesn't affect me.
Where it's kind of like he's set for life. Like, I mean, it's like he could retire today.
Right.
And live comfortably the rest of his life. Like, unless he's been a complete fool, I don't take him as that. Like, you know, he should be set for life. But kind of, I get it, man. That's, I mean, along those lines, how do you feel about Colin Morikawa? I forget. Did you say, was he in your lineup
He is. He's currently my captain.
Yeah.
I like him a lot.
Me too. I he's one of the guys that I'm pretty sure that, well, I have him in my lineup currently. Although, like, I do have to, like, question myself where, I don't know about you, if you do this work, I'll catch myself where it's like, to a certain degree, I feel like I had put him in my lineup, like, 3-4 weeks ago for the Masters, where it's kind of like, oh yeah, Morikawa's going to be in there. Then it's also kind of like, okay, hang on, let me do a sanity check. Like, is this just a... But I mean, he's played so well this year. No wins,
but he's percolating.
But he's played very well.
Right there.
I mean, I like, shoot, like he got, he was tied for 10th at the Players. Like,
yeah, it's a great finish.
And it's funny. Like, I guess I recall seeing him, but what I recall last, and it is funny how guys like sneak into the top 10 like this. Like, what I recall last was, I think he had like a pretty bad day, and a lot of players did on the Saturday at the Players. But
yeah.
But I was like, oh man, like, but then he sneaks his way into like a top 10. Like, he was in my lineup that weekend, and it's kind of like, I was like, damn it, Colin, like, what are you doing? And then, oh, you got a top 10 finish. Like,
what do you know?
That's all week.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I'm with you though. He's, you know, just, you pull up his data golf, like, just everything, a lot of green, and a lot of consistent. And it's not, he's definitely like there are some guys where, as you see, where it's the kind of the huge spikes, you don't see a ton of that with him, but it is consistently green,
right,
like, across the board.
Yes. And in multiple categories that yes, favor the Masters, and that's why he has good finishes there. I really like him. Who else are you eyeing for this, Dan?
So I'll tell you who I got now. There's definitely a little bit of overlap. A couple guys that you want to solicit some of your live expertise. I do have Bryson DeChambeau.
Yes.
I'll be honest. I know I've had several conversations with you about him and his game, and I'm not a big fan of his. Like, it is.
What?
It kind of stems from the start of his career. I know he's kind of re-ingratiated himself with the general public. Kudos to him. He seems more comfortable. Glad for him. Like, just seems less angsty, I suppose, in a sense.
He still is very goofy on the golf course.
He's a weird guy. And I'll just tell you, like, it's a dumb reason, but in a game where you're picking individuals, it doesn't take much for, it's a thin line between saying that, yeah, that's a guy I like and that's a guy I don't. I just don't like watching him swing. Like, I just don't like his swing. I don't like it, particularly around the greens. Like, it offends me. Like, and it's not like, oh my gosh, like, I could do better. Like, he hits good shots. Like, and I think I told you last year.
Yeah.
And I had to eat it because, like, he hit some really good, like, shots around the green. And let's pull up, like, what he did around the green.
You,
but, like,
you were emphatically against him last year. And I can't remember what my original take was, but I think I ended up coming around to what you were saying because of that around the green.
And I would probably, I led you astray. Like, I think he did pretty well. Like, I mean, he was in contention.
T6. But he was cut at the 2023 and 2022 Masters and hasn't had a single good result before that.
Okay, we're talking me out of it. We're making it easier for me because it is like...
No, I don't want to talk you out of it.
No, but Corey, it doesn't take much.
I don't love it. I don't love it.
I feel it because it is a... How's he been playing? I guess let's start there.
Fine.
What is your interpretation? Yeah, I mean, his results look like all like top 20.
What I
like, you kind of expect that of, it's kind of like Scotty. It's kind of like,
yeah,
top 20. I'm expecting that of you.
I like to look at the general page. I like to look at how was 2024. Okay. Most every single tournament, positive strokes gained putting, a couple exceptions there.
Yeah.
Approach. Honestly, it was great in some and bad in others. So
yeah, a little spotty.
Little spotty. Then you move to 2025, and the putting results have been bad, with the exception of last week at Miami. He gained a half a stroke to the field. Approach has been nothing spectacular this year. and Around the Green has been good, so that is good around here. You have to be good at everything at the Masters, and for that reason, I'm out. I just don't see it. You know, I don't see it this year.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny. I'm looking for it, but like for me, it's just the kind of thing where there is, and it's hard because it is like. I have eaten these words already. Like I have eaten these words like 365 days ago, where it's just like his super upright, like straight arm like chip, but he hits them good. I just, with the degree of undulation on the course, the fact that he has whatever those curved clubs, whatever the bubble on the face of his eye, whatever you want to call that. That's just a lot of variables. Like when you have shot that's on a hill, downhill, up, you know, above your feet, below your feet, you know, like there's a decent amount of that just like even in the fairway.
He is a professional. He is. He's going to gain strokes off the tee 100%.
Period. Like
it's going to be over a stroke and a half against the field off the tee. Is that going to be enough to carry him to a good finish? Maybe. Because that if you look at when Bryson changed, he had a couple cuts the years prior, 2023, 2022. But you possibly can attribute his good finish to the game all rounding together after that. You know, like it's not like anything has been awful. You know, there were times where things were awful with him. That's not really been the case. It's all kind of been okay, and he's just been an absolute animal off the tee. So I don't know. Take that as you will.
Sure. I think I tend to air out on him, but maybe I'll stock him on the bench. Like he's someone that maybe I'll put on the bench. I feel like he's maybe a strong bench contender.
Sure. Yeah.
So I think that's maybe where I land. So like you, you've definitely rubbed off on me, and he is someone who I do enjoy watching swing a lot. Is Joaquin Niemann. He's in my lineup. It feels like a freebie to use the Live guys when we can on the PGA app. It's kind of like I'm spamming their my three uses on them. So he's there. I do have Morikawa myself. I like him. He's just playing well. Like we said, he's solid all around, looking good.
Yep.
I have Rombo in there currently. He's another one. Let's see. I'm kind of curious. It's
he's kind tough of for me as well. Like I wanted to put him in, and I'm struggling putting him in. He just seems like somebody who absolutely could do it at any moment. But
sure.
My hang up for him is that his approach is very clearly not as good as it was in 2023. Clearly. So I don't know if that's going to make a big enough effect or not, but maybe.
Yeah, that is. I'm trying to pull up his 2023 to kind of see what he was doing leading up to. Yeah, I mean, that start of the year, he had quite a few where he really popped off on strokes gained approach. For the Masters. So I feel like, because I mean, like looking at what he's done this year, I mean, he's been like top 10 in just about every tournament.
Every single one for Liv. He has not been outside the top 10 except for one that he withdrew.
But that's also just a little weird for him. Like, I wonder if it's almost kind of like a bit of the sentiment that we were talking about with Morikawa like 5 minutes ago. I'm just a little complacent because like he's getting that close. Like he's got his game there. Is it, or it's like, man, if he had won a couple of those, I feel like it's a different story for me.
Yeah.
But the top 10, which it's hard because it's like, I can see it both ways, but it's like.
He did win twice last year for Liv as well.
He did.
And I don't think I gave him a fair enough shake on his approach game.
Oh, it's
last
solid.
Year to the beginning. It is more solid than what I'm giving him credit for. And the putting recently has been fantastic. And so
it's a little like Morikawa, if I'm being honest. Like I don't think it's all green similar. I think some a little less, particularly off the tee. and around the green at times is a little, you know, but the approach is, I would say, solid, above average at least. Like,
yeah.
So he's another one I might stock on the bench. We shall see on that. A couple of other guys that I am intrigued with to clear the air. I feel like at some point we're gonna have to talk about Rory. We're gonna pass on that right now. We're gonna have to talk about him.
It's hard to not have him in the lineup. I want to. We will definitely talk.
I have gotten burnt by that one far too many times to trust it.
I know.
I can't do it. Can't do it. I want to, but I feel like I find myself wanting it a little less. However, the two that I'm interested in a little bit, these guys are a little more spry, a little younger, more on the up and up. One of which you sent a nice little hype video on. Minwoo. I'm liking Minwoo. I'm liking where the game's at. My only knock in a we're nitpicking here, if I'm being completely honest. The hype video you sent, I loved it. Got me hyped. I love Minwoo. But did he create his own hype video and post it? Like, he posted that video, no? I'm sure someone
I was gonna say. Yes. It had to have been his people who edited that because it was a masterpiece.
It is a masterpiece. It's also just like if you send a hype video, it's the Corey Martin hype video, like for you running a marathon.
Yeah.
I could not contain myself from giving you an abundant amount of shit. Like, I would give you so much. I would give you so much. Be like, hey, buddy, like, this is sweet. I'm pumped up. Do well. Be like, duh, come on. but that's neither here nor there. He is playing really good golf. And honestly, kind of what I like to see is the rebound. Because, like, at the Players where he fell off, like, it is.
Yeah.
He was there. He was there with a little foreshadowing with the other gentleman I'll be talking about momentarily here. He was there, and he had a tough weekend. He had a tough weekend, but he bounced. Boy, did he bounce back at Houston Open 2 weekends ago. It's the ball hard. But you know, my only concern, which what's interesting is he doesn't gain a ton of strokes off the tee, which to me leads me to believe, if I'm assuming, is more of a accuracy issue than it is a distance, because he pummels it.
That is correct. He's gaining 20 yards typically against the field. Accuracy is mostly losing to the field, which is amazing. He lost 16% accuracy to the field, but still won at Texas.
Yeah, so that kind of puts me in a spot where it's, I think that actually sets up kind of well at Augusta.
Yes.
Like, I don't hate it.
I completely
like he's
agree.
Grinding. Like, he just got a win grinding out a win where he's missing fairways and he's finding a way to win. I don't hate it. And honestly, the putts, like the fact that it's been on an upward trajectory where he is, the past like five tournaments, he has gained increasingly more putting.
Yeah,
I like it. I think he's in my lineup. He's one of the guys where kind of when we're talking about words, I feel like kind of an up and comer where it's like a guy that has a lot of talent, where it's like, hey, you know, he's been playing on the PGA Tour for a few years now, where it's kind of like I don't even want to say like a proof a year, because like that's so unnecessary, but like it's also like he's comfortable, he's familiar, you know, not
he's an incredible putter.
Established. Like he is. He has all the game. It's just kind of like a matter of time. Like, you know, and just another guy that I feel like he's always hovering around that top 20.
Yeah.
Hovering. And like, even when he's not, you know, winning.
Truly, there are some nations that just succeed at certain places and certain tournaments. Aussies do well at the Masters. You got the Shark way back, Greg Norman. You've got Adam Scott. Gary Player way back. Or was Gary Player? Yeah,
South
Gary,
African.
Gary Player, South African. South African. Yeah, he got me. He
same
got
same.
Me.
Same, same.
Same. but no, there are several Aussies who succeed at that golf course.
Yeah. So that's I'm liking him. I feel like he's going to be in the lineup. I like where he's at. The other guy that I kind of view in a similar, find a little comparable that I'm probably a little more on the fence of if I play, would be another lefty, Akshay Batia.
Ooh.
He's another one that he was playing with Minwoo at the Players in that last group Saturday. They both had a pretty tough day. I think Akshay did a little, held on a little bit more, at least that particular week. He did have a bad, my only hang up with him, he's had a couple cuts. The tournaments, it's kind of been boom or bust for him. Where he has tied ninth at the Genesis, ninth at Mexico Open, cut at the API, tied for three at the Players Championship, cut at Valero.
Yeah.
Actually, he's a player, he is a player. He's someone that I wish I could have like 10 bench guys. I'd be set. I feel like I could have a lineup if I could have 10 bench guys. Like, and nobody else had that. But what are your thoughts on him? Curious. It's the Valero gives me some around the green. He had a tough week around the green, but
I'm not worried about one, even two bad finishes surrounded by good finishes. T9, T9, cut, T3, cut. He's not, I don't want to say he's not going to get cut there. I don't think he's going to get cut at the Masters.
For sure. And there's always some surprising cuts. Like, let's be honest. Like, this is a tournament where that happens.
Oh, yeah. He finished T35 last year in tough conditions, and he lost over a stroke in approach. If you notice, he does that kind of sporadically, where it'll be, it's not like this, he's sometimes okay, sometimes not so okay. It's good or it's not good. And you have to think that he is prepared for this tournament more than any other in his career. So, you know, last year he won the Valero and he gained massively around the green, right?
Sure.
This year he didn't. He lost two strokes of the field around the green. I think he gained almost two strokes of the field last year around the green. Ignore his finish at the Valero.
Yeah.
It's fine. Fair. It's an anomaly.
That is good. That's good counsel. That's good counsel, Corey. And I appreciate it. You know what, honestly, as I was trying to think it and kind of paint my picture as the explanation for him is, you know, it's pretty windy there. Like, he maybe weighs 120. He's probably getting blown over.
Dude, literally. I actually think is like 130 pounds.
That is.
Like, actually. Yeah. Akshay Lee.
So someone's got to get him a milkshake or something. Like, it's like, and I'm kind of kidding, but I'm really not. Like, it is like, where it's just like, I think it would be good for you and your longevity, buddy. Like, keep up the physical fitness, but like, let's put on like 25 pounds. Like, let's put on 25 pounds just for a little stability, ruggedness, so you're not injuring yourself when you celebrate after winning. Don't disrespect the lefties like that. I guess that's my public service announcement to Akshay if he's listening. I'd be happy to be his dietitian and help him get there.
As long as you're eating the food with him as well. Yes.
Right. Fair. That is fair. That's fair.
And he's also paying for it. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
We're in on that.
Yeah. Same time.
Oh, I love it. Who else you got? Is that a five total?
So that's fair. Let me go back. Let me make sure. I currently have Xander on there as well. I have him on my bench. I think I'm going to do a little shuffling.
I think I am too. I got some concerns.
You've sold me on DeChambeau. Rahm, I'm going to have to think about it. I think I'm going to put Rahm on the bench. I think it's.
See, it's funny. Like, I feel more confident about Rahm.
Yeah.
Oh man, I do. And his interview is great, talking about, you know, what it means for Spain that there's been so many winners who are Spanish, and how, you know, Seve won twice. It was incredible winning on like the 40th anniversary of his second win, and he would love to be able to do that and cement his place kind of there. Dude, Rahm wants it. He still wants it bad. Like, honestly, talking through it made me be like, I don't know if I want Koepka in my lineup. I might want Rahm again. It's, I'm very tilted.
You know he's got he's got the ability there. Like it's, gosh, what was it, 22? I mean, like just like the start to his season was pretty much as dominant as Scotty's been. Like it was,
yeah, man.
If not more, it was just like more condensed. I mean, where he won like 3 of 6 tournaments, some ridiculous amount like that. Granted, we can find that out, but
if he was on the PGA, his world golf ranking would be 1 or 2. Like,
that's probably fair.
So Scotty had his year last year without Rom there. Do you, like, truly be honest, do you think that he would have had the same year with Rom there?
I do, just because I think Rom did not have a great year last year. I think he was battling some injury or something like that. He didn't look good last year. Like what in the events that I saw Rom play, I could be off.
He had a stretch of injury. And this is, Dan, I think I fell victim to your thought as well, because that was what was leading me against him. So you remember the PGA Championship as well.
Yep.
And, you know.
Yeah, what
PGA
did he do?
PGA Championship.
Let's keep that on.
He got cut. He and lost almost a stroke in approach, which is super rare in his archetype,
yeah.
Right? The next week at Houston, he withdrew, and it was from injury. So he was injured at the PGA Championship and there. After that, T3 at Nashville, T10 at Adelucia, T7 at the Open. We forget that.
So that's the one. That's the one I'll forget.
Yeah, a win at the UK live event. T5 at the Olympics, second at Greenbrier, a win in the finale of LIV Golf in Chicago. And then he went over on the European Tour, second, T7, sixth. He had a fantastic 2024, and it just kind of went unnoticed.
Fair. That's fair. It you know what it probably was? Wasn't the injury like a toe or something silly
yes.
like that?
Yes.
It was like... A toe injury, John. Really? But that's
makes
fair.
A difference,
honestly,
I guess.
I'll tell you. Oh, I mean, to be honest though, like toe totally would, because like if that's messed up with like your weight, that'll make a big difference. I give him a hard time, but it's also like a toe injury would. That's all you need. Okay, that's fair. The one that makes me feel more comfortable about it, particularly, is the T7 at the Open, because it is where I'm thinking of him. Was definitely kind of the earlier parts of the year last year where it was kind of like,
and the fifth place at the Olympics, if I'm being honest, because that's fair. A good field too.
Oh, that was a great tournament. So it kind of reminded me, at least what I saw, and it's definitely kind of a just a bias to what I saw, kind of just like I'm taking it and I'm running, I don't need to research any further. Just kind of reminded me of like I feel like there have been times where we've seen guys out there where it's kind of a and you truly don't know, like it is, but where the injury comes, like they're playing pretty bad, and then the injury comes and it's kind of like, okay, maybe the injury has been bugging you all along, or maybe it's just playing
maybe
bad golf and kind of not
else. Yeah,
that's it's wrong to assume that, like that's certainly not what you want to be making your bets on. Like that's the exact opposite of what you're looking to make your bets on. Yeah, that's kind of like the last like sizable impression that I had, you know, watching him play golf. So, okay.
Yeah. I'm so confident that I'm sorry, Dan, I have stolen the pick.
It's a good pick.
I have given up Brooks Koepka. I don't even know why he was in my lineup, because honestly, I didn't have good feelings about him. So I don't know if I was like toying around with something and left him there. But no, like this is a no-brainer for me. John Rahm looks like an incredible pick.
I will tell you this. Between him and Brooks Koepka, I'm spamming John Rahm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brooks is...
He'll get it back. And dude, it would not surprise me if Brooks wins it. If I'm like, truly, it would not surprise me.
That's kind of what he does. Like it is.
Yes. Yeah. He'll have a shitty year and then just all of a sudden,
I'm back.
Boom. Win a major. Like what?
Yeah, it is like that. And he is definitely someone where it's like, he finds a different gear for the big tournaments. Like he does want the big tournaments. So
yeah, he's just such an interesting guy where his upbringing not like in life, but like in golf, was just so different than the others coming from the Challenge Tour. And, you know, rather than going through the normal channels, he had to work in a different space to get there, basically.
You do like that. Like, it's that is like inherently kind of a bit more of the, and he's certainly not anymore, but kind of the proverbial underdog.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, you do like that. Like, this is one where it's like, again, like, I'm talking strictly about biases, not about what I want for betting. Like,
sure.
Golf is a funny sport where it, like, to me, where it's, yeah, don't like your swing. Not cheering for it. I mean, because it is like, it's just kind of picking out of a hat. Like, you're kind of watching everybody.
Right.
There are just times where I feel like he is unnecessarily, like, terse in his interactions. And, like, part of me wants to, like, but it feels forced. Like, it just kind of feels like it's, like, a show at times. And I just don't, like, it doesn't feel, like, organic, in a sense, if that makes sense to me.
Sure.
And like, I do, sure. Like, I do like that, like, where it's almost like, and you get it, it's someone who grew up watching Tiger, but, like, trying to, like, yeah, I'm trying to be like Tiger, like, just trying to be, like, stone cold, icy, kind of short with the answers. But it's just, like, at a certain point, like, it feels like we're a little devoid of personality. And this is talking about fandom, not necessarily betting. Like, in a big tournament, he shows up. Like, he shows up in place. If he's got the game relatively close, he's going to be there. He's going to compete. All right. I will say, last guy that I would like to talk to, and certainly open more that you have, but I feel like we got to talk about Rory.
Yes, thank you.
Where are you on him? You gonna stock him away on your bench?
It's certainly a possibility. I think Rory does have that gear as well that he can kick in. In the past 6 months, so November to now, 3 wins, one of which on the European Tour, AT&T Pro-Am Players. Conditions seem like they're going to be good, but Rory, when the wind picks up, does know how to deal with it. And I think he has been showing more motion than usual. And I think
taking phones.
But then winning the tournament. You know what I mean?
That's like, a weird one. No, it is, because it's just like, oh, dude, like, what are you doing, man? Like,
oh, God, like, bad look, man. I mean, that's a bad look.
It's like a drunk college kid reminds you of a bad shot you hit, and you take his phone. Like, come on. Like, come on. Like you got to have at least $500 million in the bank account right now. Come on, man. Like,
yeah.
Come on. You're better than that.
Yeah, it was a bad look.
But he did win it. He won it.
And, you know, speaking of talking to reporters, I hated his response to the reporter, because they asked him about the event. Or no, they didn't even ask him. They said, can we talk about the phone incident? And Rory said, no, we can't. Or no, you can't ask me that. He was like, why? It's like, because I don't want you to. It's like, okay, what are you on, that's, dude, like,
that is soft.
It's so soft. But I mean, the guy is playing amazing golf. Let's talk about the reality of the situation. Coming off a T5 at the Texas Children's and a win at the Players, approach game has been very, very solid. Putting has been very solid. Overall game has been great. He pounds the ball, which is necessary there. He can hit a draw when he needs to. He's got the game for it. He's never, not never, he has been cut at the Masters before, but that is a rare sighting. That's only happened 3 times in his illustrious career out of like 20 starts, dude. Like,
he's had a lot. He's had a lot.
Since 2009, he's been going to the Masters every single year, right? So a lot of those are top 10s that he's finished with. Rory McIlroy's a stud, and this could be the year for him. I don't know.
I'm going to be honest. I'm flipping a coin. I got nothing.
You're not doing it.
Well, no. I think he'll find his way to my bench. So in terms of...
Okay.
So, like, in terms of betting, like, he's someone I'll put $5 on him to win. I don't care. Like, he, honestly, it's kind of like, although actually, like, top three. I feel like that's, I'd feel a little more comfortable with top three for Rory. He's had a lot of very, very solid Masters finishes, but I feel like in most of those, he's kind of like, he starts bad and then kind of sneaks his way back in.
Yeah.
Kind of along all the lines of like Morikawa at the Players, like kind of like at least my kind of perception of it, where it's like, hey, he was looking bad, but then it's like, he hung around and, you know, was able to stay, you know, top 10. He's playing really good golf.
He really is. An interesting little wrinkle here, and let this affect you however it may.
Sure.
Pretty low on the strokes gained category from 150 to 200 yards. And really even all of the categories here, 50 to 100. And this is this year. That's the sample size that I gave it. I could have gone more, but I really do want to see just the relevancy of like where we're at right now. Losing a stroke, 50 to 100 yards. Not quite a stroke, sorry. Losing 0.07. Gaining 0.028 from 100 to 150. So that's pretty low as well on the list here. And then also losing barely in 150 to 200. Over 200, he's gaining the most, or the second most. So next to Akshay Bhatia, which is funny.
Which I feel like he's not going to have any of those this week, too.
Not a lot, right? Not like a lot.
You know, just a couple of par fives, but like at the end of the day, that's not really the shots he's going to be facing.
It's interesting.
It is interesting.
It's just a wrinkle of it.
No, I do like that, because I do, in all sincerity, I do feel like that is kind of when you kind of compare Rory to his former self when, you know, he was winning majors many, many moon ago. it was. His iron play was exceptional. Like, you know, think back to like what he won at Congressional. Was that 2011, 2012?
But
I mean, he was, you know, sticking, just throwing darts. Not really the case anymore.
It's definitely a different game. And it's not like, obviously his game is working right now. But the Players isn't the longest course, is it? It's actually,
it's
one of the shorter. Right,
it's definitely more of a
pick your targets.
I don't want to say target golf is definitely inaccurate, but closer. It's not a bomber's paradise, so to speak.
Right, Pebble Beach, that's considered a bit longer, right? That and Spyglass.
I don't think particularly long.
So interesting, though, for a bomber. That's
when he's in his driver while he finds the fairway, though, too. Like that is what's interesting with him. Like.
Yeah,
it's what's interesting for him is when it's on with the driver. It's kind of there all together. Where like some guys can still hit it long, and he's always hitting it long. But it's kind of like when he's hitting it well, he's hitting it long and straight.
Yeah,
it's kind of like here's almost like both at the same time.
Yeah, another wrinkle to it that I think makes a lot of sense of his success is that he's gaining fairly significant against the field. Out of the rough in approach. So under 150 and over 150, both of those he's gaining strokes against the field. And if you look at his accuracy off the tee, it is losing to the field. 10% at his win at the Players, 13% in his API performance, 9% at the Genesis. Just interesting data. I love looking at this data.
Yeah, data golf is great.
It's fantastic.
Big fan of data golf. It is like, honestly, like it can just dive down rabbit holes. And most of the time I feel like most of the time what it is, it just makes me like face my personal biases to golfers where it's like,
yeah,
all of my petty reasons where it's like, I don't like you because you're swinging. It's like, playing pretty good.
Yeah,
playing
right.
Playing pretty good. Playing pretty good.
Aww.
So
I've got a couple people real quick I want to talk about.
Yeah.
I've got I do want to bring up Victor Hovland real quick.
Yes.
I think Victor. He has to be brought up. 27-year-old, putts well, approaches well, and has had one good finish and some respectable finishes. 27th, 21st, 32nd, and a T7. Last year was cut. Was going through a lot last year. I don't think I'm there yet to trust him. But when it's on, it is just so on for Victor Hovland. Got a third place at the PGA Championship, and ended up getting a win at his last start at the Valspar here. So what do you think? Are we ready to give him a nod? Do you think he can do it, or stay away?
He can do it. Like, there's no doubt. So along the lines of, like, if I'm betting, like, Rory, I'd bet as a top three. Because it's like, part of me just thinks like, you're just going to come up just shy, buddy.
Yeah.
Victor, for me, like, I feel like I'm rolling the dice and I'd say boom or bust, or it's like win or bust. I mean, where I'm struggling with him, four cuts and a win.
No, in
his
man.
Three cuts and a win in his last four.
It's bad.
It is. I feel like he's a little inherently unpredictable. I don't know if familiarized yourself, like, but he is another one, kind of like we were talking about Morikawa changing swing coach. I mean, I think
he's had
7 in the past, like, 2 years.
Yeah.
He's gone back and forth, back to guys, back to other people.
I've heard about this.
Where it's just like, I'm going to need to see more before I commit. Like, he definitely has the ability, the game. He will get back there. I'm not prepared for him just yet.
I'm with you. That's why he's, like, not in my lineup.
It is like I like him. I like his game. Seems like a good dude. It is a little weird with the swing coaches, but it's like, at the end of the day, it's like,
you want
golf's a crazy game. It's a tough game where it's like, I get it. Like, they're just dudes that like to tinker and kind of like perfectionist, but it's all, you know. When I'm betting, it's like, want a little more stability, man. And frankly, I think it would probably benefit him as well. But
yeah, I agree. I think
I'm passing for now. But like, at the end of the day, it wouldn't surprise me if he were to win it. Like, that's not outrageous. Like, that's not out of left field.
Yep. Okay. Two more people. Ludvig Åberg. He has been cut twice in a row.
It's a layered one. Yeah.
And won at the Genesis Invitational. His interview was really cool, talking about how the highest highs and the lowest lows. But he feels throughout everything, whether he's 5 over or 5 under, his process doesn't change, his mindset doesn't change, and I feel like has one of the best mentalities, and demeanors going into things.
He has a good demeanor. Like, outside looking in, it's just like, yeah, like, that is, like, he is just so remarkably calm. And it's,
yeah,
that's outside looking in. That could be complete perception, but I do agree with that. Like, just outside looking in, it's just like, oh yeah, this guy's,
yeah,
just so completely just nails. Like, just, yeah, at least unaffected negatively, at least.
Right. So he doesn't get cut at this event. I'm sure of that. I'm sure he's not going to get cut. But I also don't think he has what it takes this year to win the Masters. I see him as a top 30 guy, basically. That's a little rude of me, but
no, I'm aligned with you. And when you say, like, you don't think he has it, like, to clarify, or at least, like, what I would,
he's got the talent.
Yes, it's just like, not currently, stuff is up. Like, something is afoot.
Yeah, it like, is that's just too strange to come into it with two cuts in a row. Whereas the year before that, at those same events, the exact same events, T14 and eighth place.
Yeah,
you gotta think the vibes are a little bit different. And I know we just said the demeanor is amazing, but is there any desperation in this tournament? Almost, you know, even if it doesn't feel like he has it, but just deep down, where, you know, dear God, don't make it a third cut in a row. You know, and when you think don't go in the water, it's gonna go in the water.
Ooh, well, there's something to that. I don't think that's him. But
I don't think so either.
It's a, but what's in, what is interesting, like, I mean, if you just even quickly flip to his day to golf, where if you flip back to 2024,
yeah,
green is green can be some of the highest, you know, yeah, he obviously has a little bit
approaching
of red
off the tee.
So sometimes yeah. around the green putting, but like approaching off the tee, like
not
about as good as it gets.
Yeah.
Pretty consistently too. Like,
yep.
A few walls, but by and large, very, very solid off the tee approach.
Yep.
This year, just hasn't been the same yet.
Yeah, and granted, sick at the Farmers, sick at the AT&T with Drew, then won the next one, but then the next three were just, you know, okay. You know, it wasn't gaining in approach at all. Wasn't really gaining that much off yeah. the tee like he normally does.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we've hit the nail on the head with him that I would personally stay away this tournament.
I'd stay away. You know, still cheer for him down the finish if he's
oh, yes.
Wouldn't surprise me. Like,
and I'd be so happy if he wins. I would lose money and I would be so happy.
It's kind of along the lines of, you don't want to bet on a trend to flip where you need
right.
to flip the week that you're making the wager.
Yeah.
And I guess there's particularly in a guy who is a favorite, like he is a top talent. Like you're not going to get great odds off of Ludwig Gobert. Like,
yeah,
he's a favorite. And he should be, but
yeah,
it's just kind of like Victor for me where it's like, and it is different. Like they're definitely different stories. Like Victor, it's like, you got to show me a little more stability, like string a few
oh,
together.
Yeah. Yes.
Aubert, for Ludwig, it's show me one. Once he has one, I'm all the way back in. Like, you know yep. what I mean? Like where it's like, once he gives me that next tournament where he just pops off, it's like, I'm back.
Yeah.
Put him out there. Victor, yeah. it's like, give me like a 2 to 3 week stretch, like a 2-3 tournament stretch where it's like
top 15s.
We have stabilized. Fine. Like, we have stabilized.
Weathered the storm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Speaking of somebody who I think the last person who needs to weather a storm, but I will not be betting on him to.
Oh.
Tyrrell Hatton. And that's going to come as a shock, I think, because he's had fine results here last year with a T9 as his best finish. And then the rest were meh to bad. He's been cut twice. It's been a while. But he's been cut twice. I have him in a parlay of tons of people. It's not going to hit. But a lot of people to make the cut and a lot of people to miss the cut. He is the only one that is plus money to miss the cut that I have. I don't know why I have such strong feelings around it other than his recent performances have been pretty poor. In what you certainly would describe as top heavy fields, and he's not finishing in that top
Fair.
Part.
Fair. It is. In
Europe in the off season, he won twice, got a fifth place, sixth place, second place, 10th place. Amazing. But it's like right when the LIV season started, he had a good finish at Riyadh. But then after that, it was just, it's okay.
Yeah. I mean, he started hot.
Yeah. And some good fields too. You know, the European Tour ones were good. McIlroy, Nikolai Højgaard, Patrick Reed, for better or worse, Rasmus Højgaard, several guys who we would consider
sure.
good talent.
So it is interesting. He definitely does strike me, and you know, keep me honest here, as someone who thrives under kind of the pressure, so to speak, where it's like he likes that extra.
Yeah.
I don't know how familiar you are with kind of like an Ian Poulter, where it's like and you probably a little bit, but like it's
yeah,
Ian
yeah.
Poulter, I mean, because, yeah, he's still, I don't know, is Ian Poulter, he's on LIV, right?
He's on live and has been,
but he's like 50. He's kind of like Phil at this point. Yeah.
Like he took the money for a good reason.
Yes. Where it's like, it makes sense for him.
Yes.
Honestly, I don't know why Wolf would have paid him, to be honest. I like Ian Poulter. But
polarizing
it's like,
character. That's literally character. The only reason.
Yeah. Fair. The pants, like it had been on a bit of a decline, but for the majority of his career, it's like, you'd always hang around in the big events, kind of. I don't know who would be I'd say kind of like Justin Rose a little bit, where it's kind of like,
yeah,
just always kind of hanging around. Which is like, yeah, he's you know,
have
he's,
a couple
he's
good
there.
Finishes,
not
but...
like winning a ton, but like you know, doing pretty well. Like where it's kind of yeah. like, it is interesting. It had a hot start, at least for our fantasy league. I don't think I'll be playing him.
No.
It would seem
but
like an
I
aggressive
could
move.
See somebody,
I think so. I can bet. I mean, that would be. I mean, that's the kind of thing though that like you kind of got to go for wins. You know, in a situation where probably most guys are going to have Scotty. You know, a lot of guys are going to have Rahm. A lot of guys are going to have Rory. A lot of guys are going to have Morikawa, Shoffley. I don't hate it. It's bold. Like I see where it's coming from, and I mean, last year he did do pretty well. Like
I know. I know it's a bold pick, but I'm just going with what I see here. And off the tee has not been good. And if that continues into this week and the wind picks up, he is a fiery character. I can see him just blowing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say boom or bust. I'd say like top 20 or cut. That's kind of what I would see. Top 20 or cut.
Totally agree. So,
decent guess.
We'll see.
I have one small one to propose to you. Just quick. Who has a better finish? I'd say decent chance both get cut.
Okay.
Freddie Couples. Fan favorite. Lovable. Laid back. Yeah. Relaxed.
Yeah.
Or Angel Cabrera.
Okay.
Convicted felon.
When
or
did
I don't know,
Angel
felon.
Angel play last? I need to see this. He's 55. His last tournament. Dude, I thought I saw this. He just won a tournament.
Top.
Like, not even kidding.
The
April 6th.
The James Hardy Invitational?
Yes.
What is that, though? Oh, the Champions Tour. Or the...
Yeah, on the Champions Tour.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
So, like, no, he's... I want to go on Fred Couples there and say for sure, give Freddie the nod here. That's what my heart's telling me to do. But it's just kind of hilarious that... He just won
redemption
of the champions. It's hilarious.
Redemption.
So I am gonna go the Fred Couples route, the smoothest of swings, and
what do you want to put on it? Because I'll take Mr. Angel Cabrera.
All right. Let's
Don't
lock something in.
Don't call him an angel.
Ooh, let's. You want to just say $10? Little 10 spot. Little
done.
2-5 spots.
Done.
Locked in.
Best finish. Okay, let's do this. How about a kicker? 2x if the winning guy makes the cut between the two.
Oh, I love that. I love it.
You like
I love
that?
It. I love it. I
you
love
like
it.
That?
I love it. Yeah.
So,
lock that in.
So, and I guess I'd say only if Freddie makes cut, Angel doesn't, or if Angel makes cut, Freddie doesn't. If they both make
right.
the cut, one does better, we can just keep it as the tenor.
Done. Yeah, I think that's
excellent.
Perfect.
Excellent.
Oh, well, Dan, I think I'm tapped out of my knowledge here on things.
Same. I tapped out of my knowledge about an hour ago, so...
Yeah. Well, everybody, good luck. Have fun watching the Masters. I will certainly be watching it tomorrow. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, as much as I can.
Don't forget to watch the par 3.
Oh, I'm going to. Do not.
Par 3's great.
Well, yeah, for everybody else, yes. You guys, yes. Watch the par 3.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
Par 3.
Tony Finau may break another ankle. We may have announcers calling Scottie Scheffler's sister fat again.
We can hope.
It's just going to be
it's
TV.
Spade.
Awesome.
Not true.
All right. Dan, enjoy it.
Back at you, buddy.
All right. Zach.